On Palm Sunday, March 25th, Musica Nova Orchestra, Chorus, and Soloists will present a rare feast of music, a not too often performed Eastertide masterpiece by Johann Sebastian Bach. The music director of Musica Nova, Warren Cohen, stopped by the KBOX studios to talk about this controversial piece, which is an intellectual and heartfelt labor of love for him, and about the ensemble presenting it. Musica Nova started how many years ago now?
It started in 2003. It started basically as a concept, and the concept was to do things that other people weren't doing.
Which was the byline, still is, I think.
Still is.
Greatest music
absolutely.
You've never heard.
Right, exactly.
Well, I brought you in really to talk about a concert that at first blush, people might say, well, it doesn't sound terribly different, but it is. The St. John Passion, people might not know. This is a piece that was finished, revised further. He kind of worked on it his whole life.
Right.
And by the time he got done, he'd almost gone back to the beginning, it seems like.
Right.
And there's all sorts of perspectives on this, but I noticed that one of the comments I made, we'd be talking about the controversial text, I guess.
Correct, yes.
So what's the controversy here?
The controversy is the fact that he took the texts from Luther's Bible, the German texts, and he set them as they were written in German. And Luther's take on the biblical texts had his own twist to it. And the twist was based upon his very rigid anti-Semitism. And
which we don't think of him that way, you know?
Luther.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luther was extremely anti-Semitic. And it was an interesting evolution in his own thinking because he originally was not. But he kind of had the same experience as Muhammad did over the course of his life, which is as he realized he was not able to convert the Jews, he got angrier and angrier about his own failure. And there is a text by Luther himself written late in his life that is very, very explicitly argues about mistreatment of Jews and how he really believed they should be. Bach actually owned a copy of that diatribe. It was in his library. However, we have an additional thing that makes it tricky. There is not a single piece of evidence that Bach himself was anti-Semitic. Not that there's much evidence of anything in terms of Bach. You have people who argue that Bach was deeply religious. We have people who argue that he was not religious. They can take exactly the same things and come to those conclusions because he was so unrevealing in what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The texts are anti-Semitic in the sense that we have the Jews were arguing for the execution of Jesus. On the other hand, the texts themselves are softened in some of the ways in which he uses the word. By the way, there were passages from the Passion of John which he could have set that would have been even more anti-Semitic, which he avoided.
I'm going to stop you right there because you're going headlong into this. You're doing the Passion. I want to know because I have my own opinion on this.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you straight up. I don't know that he was religious. I think that was his employer. I think he had a gig.
Exactly.
He had to do it, and nobody could do it like Bach. Just the idea you're telling me he avoided some of the text, I don't think it was so much that it was because musically it didn't lay well. Maybe this is just too far afield. I don't want to go here.
That's entirely possible. Yeah. And the thing is that when you look at the way in which Bach's thinking was, I think one of the most important things to understand about Bach is that he was, to an extent that almost no other composer was, an intellectual composer.
There are so many things about this that are different for Bach, much of them musicological. Some of them are pretty easily identified with this is a time when the soloists aren't so much furthering the story. They're almost commenting on what everybody else is talking about.
That's exactly right, yes.
And that's quite different for him.
Yes, that is. That's a very different idea. The other element that's, I think, interesting is his use of archaism in it. He uses archaic instruments. He uses a viola d'amore. He uses an oboe d'amore. He uses an oboe da caccia. He uses a viola da gamba. These are instruments that were out of date already by the time he was using them. And they create an archaic effect. And they also create the effect of being deeply personal because they are instruments which are softer. That idea is, again, very much let's bring it to the personal level and have this commentary being done by as you said, by the soloists in each case.
The idea of there being an orchestra like yours or a group like yours saying we want to do this repertoire that's not done by the mm-hmm. big guys. This is a chance to say, these folks are all my neighbors.
Right.
Absolutely. Wow, look where I live.
People are amazed. I mean, when people hear Musica Nova on the, you know, on the international stage through our YouTube videos and stuff like that, they're saying, gee, there's that level of talent in Phoenix, Arizona. How is that even possible? And I'm going, there's a lot more here than you would ever imagine.
Warren Cohen will lead the Musica Nova Orchestra, Chorus, and Soloists in the St. John Passion, Palm Sunday, March 25th, at Scottsdale Presbyterian Church at 3 p.m. And there is a pre-concert exploration of the work and the choices made in its performance. For more information, visit musicanovaaz.com. At the heart of the arts in the Valley of the Sun, I'm Sterling Biaf for KBOX.